Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to our last Wednesday night midweek service during the season of Lent. Lent lasts 40 days, not including Sundays. During the last week of Lent, it begins on Palm Sunday, this Sunday, where Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem, and he's going to Jerusalem with thousands of other people to celebrate the Passover. Passover was when the angel of death passed over Egypt, and the Israelites took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the, and the angel of death passed over some 1,250 years before this happened. So they always celebrated the Passover with a Passover meal, and as people gathered around the table, the youngest would always ask the oldest, grandfather, it was usually grandfather, tell us why we do this. And he would tell the story of being freed from slavery. So Jesus was going into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The Passover was always held on the first full moon after the spring equinox. So today is the first day of spring. And so our full moon should be coming next week, okay? Just watch, keep your eyes open for the full moon. The reason they had the full moon, they met on the full moon, was because so many families traveled from various places. Sometimes they couldn't get there in daylight. So the moon in those days, shined bright, and they didn't have the pollution that we had. And so and I've been on the desert in the full moon, and it's bright. And so it helped them travel. So Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover. Of course, after the Passover meal where he said, this is my body, this is my blood shed for you, he goes out into the garden and to pray and is arrested and tried and convicted and crucified on Friday and Easter. So Easter is always set as the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. Okay? That's why Easter comes and goes. This year we're going to have a real bright, bright full moon because it's going to reflect off to so much sun, off snow, I should say. Yeah, yeah. Tonight our lesson, we've been using a fellow by the name of Rob Bell, and I think everybody has gotten something out of these little 10-12 minute snippets. But tonight he's going to talk about the name of God. In Old Testament times, how did God get his name? In Old Testament times, it was understood that they would not use the name of God because it was so holy, so pure, so magnificent that they would use words to describe God. So they talked about Jehovah, who's a heavenly father, or Adonai, which is the Prince of Peace, or and they had the unpronounceable name. They had a word without vowels. The way we say it now is Yahweh. But so it's an unpronounceable name. And the reason they didn't use the name of God was because he was so holy and so above us that, well, let me give you an example. Harlow, and if Harlow calls me Jim, we're on the same equal level. But if he calls me pastor, he's talking about the office, and it's an office of respect, and I appreciate that. And it's kind of like us going and talking to the doctor rather than Tom. So there's something in the names. And the name of God was so high above that it was unpronounceable, unusable, so they used other words to describe. And so the lesson from tonight is when Moses goes up to the mountain and meets God in the third chapter of Exodus. God calls him. He says, I want you to go and leave my people free. But when the people ask, who sent me? Who should I say your name is? And God says, I am who I am. I am who I am. And so Rob Bell will do a good job by explaining that for us. Our schedule next week, Maundy, Thursday, there will be no potluck. We'll just gather here for our Maundy, Thursday Last Supper meal. On Good Friday, we will have the service of the nails, 9 o'clock. And then on Easter, we will have an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock service. Now, it doesn't seem that anybody has signed up for Easter breakfast. And I don't think anybody has signed up for Easter coffee. So, if someone wants Easter coffee, I mean, if you want to, I think the church can buy hot cross buns or something like that, or Easter eggs or something, but it seems like we should have a cup of coffee after. So, if you would like to help out with Easter coffee, please sign up on the sign-up sheet. And I'll announce this on Sunday as well. So, that sound okay? Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are in your presence now, and you are in us. Spark of your being is in each one of us gathered here tonight. We pray that spark might come alive, that our ears and our eyes and our hearts might be opened. We might come to know you in a better way. We pray for your presence with each one of us as we continue our Lenten journeys with your Son. We thank you for his gift to us, his sacrifice for us. We pray during these days we might draw closer to you. So send your Spirit tonight, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight our opening hymn is 324. Hymn 324.
In the cross of Christ I glory, bowing o'er the wrecks of time.
Please rise. Please turn to page 328, the responsive prayer, the suffrages, page 328. Page 328. We open our worship tonight in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal,
have mercy on us.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done,
on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread,
and forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial,
and deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours,
now and forever. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Let's use the prayers on the right column. Show us your mercy, O God.
And grant us your salvation.
Give us the joy of your saving help again.
And sustain us with your bountiful spirit.
Give peace in all the world.
For only you can live in safety.
Keep the nations under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come before you.
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let's listen to that little tune first. Whose is that? Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We grump and complain about the weather, but you bring what is good and what we need, and so allow us to trust you in these matters. We pray that you will watch over us through the night. You will care for those who are in need. We especially remember those who have no roof over their head, no food in their bellies. Draw them close to you. And so bless us now and these days as we continue our Lenten journeys. Watch over us and grant us your love and peace. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's turn to Psalm 73. In this hymnal, there's no pages, so you just turn a few more pages and you'll get to Psalm 73. I'll read the first part of the verse. Please read the indented part of the verse. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel,
to those who are pure in heart.
But as for me, my feet had nearly slipped,
I had almost tripped and fallen,
because I envied the proud,
and saw the prosperity of the wicked.
For their entire lives seem free of pain,
and they have their fill of feet.
In the misfortunes of others, they have no share.
They are not afflicted as others are.
Therefore they wear their pride like a necklace. Their iniquity comes from gross minds.
And their hearts overflow with wicked thoughts.
They scoff and speak maliciously.
Out of their countenance they come in oppression.
They set their mouths against the heavens.
And their evil speech runs through the world.
Therefore the people turn to them.
And they enjoy the fullness of days.
They say, how should I know God? How should God know? Sorry. So then these are the wicked.
Always at ease, and they increase their wealth.
In vain I have kept my heart clean.
And washed my hands in innocence.
I have been afflicted all day long.
And punished every morning.
Had I gone on speaking this way,
I should have betrayed a generation of your children.
When I tried to understand these things,
it was too hard for me.
Until I entered God's sanctuary.
And deserved the end.
Surely you set them in slippery places.
You cast them down in ruin.
Oh, how suddenly do they come to destruction.
Come to an end and perish from terror.
Like a dream when one awakens, O Lord.
When you arise, you will make their image vanish.
When my mind became embittered,
I was sorely wounded in my heart.
I was stupid and had no understanding. Yet I am always with you.
You hold me by my right hand.
You will guide me by your counsel.
And afterwards receive me with glory.
Whom have I in heaven but you?
And have you with my sire nothing on earth.
Though my flesh and my heart should waste away,
God is the
Truly those who forsake you will perish.
You destroy all who are unfaithful.
But it is good for me to be near God. And our lesson tonight comes from the third chapter of the book of Exodus, beginning with the second part of the sixth verse. Moses was afraid to look at God, and so he hid his face. The Lord said, I have seen how my people are suffering as slaves in Egypt, and I have heard them beg for my help because of the way they are being mistreated. I feel sorry for them, and I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians. I will bring my people out of Egypt into a country where there is good land, rich with milk and honey. I will give them the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. My people have begged for my help, and I have seen how cruel the Egyptians are to them. Now go to the king. I am sending you to lead my people out of his country. But Moses said, Who am I to go to the king and lead your people out of Egypt? God replied, I will be with you, and you will know that I am the one who sent you when you worship me on this mountain after you have led my people out of Egypt. Moses answered, I will tell the people of Israel that the God their ancestors worshipped has sent me to them. But what should I say if they ask me your name? God said to Moses, I am the eternal God. So tell them that the Lord whose name is I Am has sent you. This is my name forever, and it is the name that people must use from now on. The Word of God, the Word of Life.
Up and they said it was a sign that God was with them. And then probably about 2 weeks ago, I heard somebody talking about two people who'd been sick, and the one of them had been healed, and they were talking enthusiastically about how God had intervened to heal the one person. And the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, but what about the other person? They didn't get healed. Where was God? Why didn't God intervene with them? And then it was last night, I heard somebody say that they'd been at a store and they'd seen something they really wanted and it was on sale, and they said, this just shows how good God is. If God can help people find things on sale, then why doesn't God spend time doing things that seem more important, like earthquakes or famines or sickness? When you think about God, when you hear the word God, what images come to mind? Like this old man with a long white beard, he's behind a curtain and he's working these levers. He's healing some and he's finding parking spaces for others. See, for many people, their concept of God is built around a God who's outside of everything. A God who essentially is somewhere else. A God who made the world but then stands back and like watches it from this other vantage point. A God who's there, and then from time to time comes here. The problem with this concept of God is you end up having to even prove that this God even exists. And so what happens is we start with real life, we start with existence, this, what we all agree actually exists, and then people end up arguing and debating and discussing whether there's a God somewhere else who has something to do with this. But the writers of the Bible seem far less interested in proving whether God exists. and far more interested in talking about what God is like. Like in the book of Exodus, a man named Moses wants to know God's name. God responds, I am. And then later God reminds Moses that when Moses heard God's voice, he saw no shape or form. God is beyond anything our minds can comprehend. What's it mean to have a personal relationship with this kind of God? I mean, that's like hard to get your mind around. Now, I believe that God listens and God cares and God's involved, but I find the whole relationship idea hard to comprehend. And then loving this kind of God, what does that look like? What does it mean? And how do you do it? When I think of God, I hear a song. It's a song that moves me. It has a melody, and it has a groove. It has a certain rhythm. And people have heard this song for thousands and thousands of years across continents and cultures and time periods. People have heard the song and they found it captivating. And they've wanted to hear more. Now, there have always been people who say there is no song and who deny the music, but the song keeps playing. And so, Jesus came to show us how to live in tune with the song, like that he's the way and the truth and the life. This isn't a statement about one religion being better than all the other religions. And the last thing Jesus came to do is start a new religion. He came to show us reality at its most raw. He came to show us how things are. I mean, Jesus is like God and taking on flesh and blood. And so in his generosity and his compassion, that's what God's like. In his telling of the truth, that's what God's like. In his love and forgiveness and sacrifice, that's what God's like. That's who God is. That's how the song, that's how the song goes. The song is playing all around us all the time. The song is playing everywhere. It's written on our hearts, and everybody is playing the song. See, the question isn't whether or not you're playing a song. The question is, are you in tune? Like it's written in the book of Acts. It says that God gives us life and breath and everything else. God is generous. So when I'm like selfish and stingy and I refuse to give, I'm essentially out of tune with the song. Later, in one of John's letters, he says that God is love. Unrestrained, unconditional love. So when you see somebody sacrifice themselves for another, for the well-being of somebody else, it's like, they're playing in the right key. That's why it's so inspiring and powerful. They're in tune with the song. Now, some people know all sorts of stuff about music. They know something about pitch and modes and keys and instruments. And so they can hear things that maybe other people don't. They hear subtlety and nuance in the song that other people might miss. They appreciate things others might miss. But it's also possible to be so caught up in the technical aspects of the song that you miss the simple, pure enjoyment of the song. And there are people who talk as if they know everything about being a Christian, and that they can seem way out of tune. And then there are others who would say they don't know much at all about the Christian faith, and yet they can seem very in tune with the song. And I've met lots of people who struggle with what it means to have a relationship with God, but they haven't lost faith and love and hope, truth and compassion and justice and generosity. And maybe you have this sense like you have no sort of relationship with God because of all these things, these ideas you have about what that means, all these things that you've been told about what it is or what it isn't. And an infinite, massive, kind of invisible God. That's hard to get our minds around. But truth, love, grace, mercy, justice, compassion. The way that Jesus lived. I can see that. I can can understand that. I can relate to that. I can play that song.
This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our offering. Please rise. Let us pray. I'll lead a prayer and then we'll join in the evening prayer at the bottom of page 330. O Lord, we pray that we might be in tune with you and with the universe. We pray that we might hit the right notes and use the right tempo, the tempo that you give us. And so help us to calm our hearts and calm our lives before you and to enjoy the many blessings that you send our way. We pray that you might continue to smile upon us and that we might continue to walk in harmony with all you send us. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father. Let's join together in the evening prayer. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously protected us today. We ask you to forgive us all our sins, where we have done wrong, and graciously to protect us tonight. Into hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all that is ours. Let your angels be with us, so that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Almighty God, bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is 338.